They could sleep on the plane.
That's not restful sleep. You ever tried to sleep on a plane?
Yes. But let's stuck between a Turkish couple on your way back from Spain. It's the worst.
I cannot say that's a relatable experience for everybody.
Keep up away.
Hey guys, what's up? Welcome back to K-Pop Parade. I am Trinity.
My name is Abby.
And today we are just going to jump straight into discussing the much anticipated Super M. One word. Give me your first thoughts on Super M. Go.
Bacon.
That's okay. That counts, I guess.
Let me explain. A friend of mine was asking what Super M was, and I was trying to explain, and she is not familiar with K-pop very much, and so when I kept saying bacon is in it, and she was like, are you saying bacon? I'm like, yeah. Have you ever seen that meme? You know, the Canadian bacon, the American bacon, the Korean bacon? And she was like, no. So not only did I introduce her to Super M, I also introduced her to that fantastic meme.
To bacon
memes. Bacon's angry face. And he was the star of this entire debut, and that's why.
This whole thing was absolutely incredible. I didn't know what to expect because I could have had my guesses and I could have assumed, but this just blew every expectation that I had away.
It definitely blew my expectations, mainly because I didn't have any. I was kind of impartial. It could have sucked. It could have not sucked, but it definitely did not suck.
It did not. It was very far from sucking.
Yes, it was anti-suck.
I was so impressed. Like, they did an interview before the actual video debuted, which then they followed it up with sitting with the fans and watching the debut of the video with mm-hmm. them, and they had not seen it yet.
Oh, that's always a good one.
I thought that was super cool of them to do that with their fans. They did an interview, and during the interview, I think it was Kai who said, these are the best members of K-pop, and he pointed at his fellow members. And at first I was like, dude, that's a bold statement. Because, like, there's a lot of K-poppers out there. There are
K-poppers.
There are hundreds of members that debut every year. Mm-hmm. And to say that these are the best is, like, a big, bold statement. And after watching this video, he's not wrong.
He's not. Not even necessarily in terms of talent. Because, again, you got new talent every year. But in terms of experience and adaptability, you got the best of the best. You have SHINee's Taemin, who's been in the industry for 11 years or something crazy like that. You have two of the best members of EXO, vocally and dance-wise. And then you have NCT, which are just the kings of adaptability. I mean, there's 36 of them. So they're always
like the
interchanging.
Number changes every time that we discuss NCT. You have a different
number. You know why? Because it's constantly changing. All right.
But like they took these members and they gave them each like their areas to shine. And
exactly.
Ten and Kai got to showcase their dancing and those cool breakdowns with the slow motion. Taeyong and Mark got to do their rap. And then Lucas got to showcase his rapping in another song in the album. Baekhyun got to belt. And that's what Baekhyun does best. He belts.
There is a reason he was my first ever bias. There's also a reason he's not that anymore.
And then he decided he was too extra for you.
He's really fucking extra. I've always been a sucker for his vibrato. In K-pop, it's hard to keep that established because you're constantly moving. And there is a certain amount of air that you have to project to be able to have your voice relaxed as well. You can't really do that while you're doing choreography. But I've always admired him for letting that out, let that shine. And it's just nice to hear. I like it.
It pretty.
It pretty. He pretty. He's a dork, but he pretty.
He's my son. He is my extra child. Mm. One thing I also really liked about this that they pointed out during the interview beforehand is that the lyrics are about taking over the world. It's about them changing the game. And that's exactly what I think that they are going to be able to do. I think they are absolutely on the right path, like to change K-pop, to be the Avengers of K-pop. Such a cheesy tagline, but I think they're doing the damn thing.
But do you think they'll be able to do the damn thing in the U.S., where we're very close-minded?
I think so. I think, one, the U.S. is becoming way more open to the idea of K-pop. Like, I look at what K-pop was when I first got back into it, and BTS and EXO touring were the only K-pop groups that really toured in, mm-hmm. 2016. And I look at it now, how many groups have toured the U.S. this year? Beginning of the year, you had like Red Velvet, Blackpink, Astro, you've had ATEEZ, you've had Stray Kids already come through this year, you've had BTS come through.
Twice.
You have all of these groups that have just been able to blow up in America because we're becoming way more open to this type of market. And I think that Super M, what SM is doing with them, is a very different type of
branding.
Yeah. And so in this aspect that NCT gained popularity in Korea, and then they just tried to just move them over here and do the exact same thing. It didn't, not that they did bad in America, but they weren't BTS and they didn't sell the way BTS sold. Mm. And I think Super M having an American debut and the different marketing tactics, and I think it's going to work out well for them. I have seen multiple people on my timeline who had no interest in Super M and wanted nothing to do with it, being like, this is incredible. How am I going to get tickets to these concerts when they go on sale?
How are we going to get tickets to these concerts?
I don't know, because they go on sale while I'm at work, so we're just going to figure that out as we go. Hopefully by the time y'all are listening to this, we'll have tickets to Super M.
Or we won't.
I really think that they're doing their marketing in a great way. I think jumping straight into an American tour is going to help them in the aspect of...
Don't you mean jopping? You remember that I have issues with things that aren't actually words, right?
You leave Red Velvet out of this.
Stupid. I like the song a lot. But it's stupid.
I think it's going to do well for them. I think they were smart in their money grab attempt, because that's all that this is. And it's going to work because you have fans of all of these different groups. They're all going to contribute instead of just, if there's a Shawol that's not an in-citizen, they're not going to fight for tickets. But now you have someone who worships Taemin being like, well, shit, even if I can just see Taemin on stage, I'm going to go.
Mm-hmm.
It's people who
even if they were assholes before.
Right. Even if they were assholes before, they're going to go now. The reaction to the song was fantastic on Twitter last night. It had an American debut, so I didn't feel bad staying up for it because it wasn't at like 4 o'clock in the morning like normally they are. And it blew up. Not a single thing on my timeline was anything bad other than Lucas having minimal lines.
And we actually had some people at us on Twitter.
We
when
did.
We asked about it.
We tweeted. And just for those listening, if you are on the Twitter and you want to follow us, our Twitter is at K-Pop Parade. So it's at K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E.
You can twit us.
You can twit us.
At Tens Melons said, amazing, spectacular. So glad I didn't listen to it leaked. It was 10 out of 10, and I'm still shaking. It was leaked?
It was leaked. So it hit the internet a few days before it dropped. And a lot of people were saying the song sucked. A lot of people were like, this is horrible. I can't believe y'all are going to support this. And everyone that has listened to it since has been like, what song were y'all listening to? I have at Hyunjin's Keeper, all caps. Hello. I can't wait to see the live stage. Please. It's going to ruin our lives. And it probably is, Cammie. You are not wrong.
I mean, like I said, they are veterans in the K-pop industry. They've been on stage. Maybe Lucas a bit less than everyone else, but fucking Taemin's been on stage for 11 years. There's experience with that. There's tips and tricks and advice that he can bestow. They probably have such good chemistry on stage that it's going to blow our minds.
Blow our minds.
And then we have Jikook Hyun. It's the art that we all needed, and I'm ready to sell my soul to see this in concert. And you know what, Sam? You're probably going to have to.
For the luck that we need. And then, I have my friend Claire, who first of all sent me a DM, and her at is Win Wins Peach. I'm about to sit down and write you a novel of my thoughts on Super M, and that's exactly what she did.
This thing is pages long. Pages.
But it's wonderful, and she's not wrong. She said, once I got past my 16-hour no thoughts head Mark Lee lockdown, I was able to actually sit down and think about the album. Every track is absolutely amazing. Whoever said it wasn't good when they heard the leak, they're clearly mistaken. Jopping is a powerful track that set the mood for the Super M concept. I thought the Avengers of K-pop was kind of a dumb title when I first heard it, but wow. They proved that maybe they really can be just that. SM is really onto something with this group and these songs. I hate praising SM, mood, but maybe they deserve praise for this one. Reactions on the internet were great. So I really think they're going to be able to sustain this. I say that with the controversy of, please let Taeyang and Mark Lee rest at some point soon, please.
They never get to sleep. They can sleep again when they're dead.
Like, there's the whole controversy right now because after Super M tour dates dropped, it was pointed out that Taeyang and Mark are literally going to be touring in America, flying to Japan for a tour with NCT 127, flying back to America to continue their Super M tour, but they're literally like days apart from each other. So I wish they had been a little more accommodating with the time frame. Can we also discuss real quick, why is Taemin so intimidating as a human being?
You realize he has a song called Holy Water where he should not be touching holy water because he will burst into flames because he is the spawn of Satan.
He is sin.
He is.
He is sin in human, but he's also the softest being in the entire world during interviews and things like that. But then like watching him, there was a scene in the video where he has a motorcycle helmet on and all you see are his eyes. And he is still somehow one of the most attractive humans on this planet.
That's Taemin for you.
I think Kai was just a visual king in this one.
Kai has always been very not hard to look at, but I especially appreciate him in Super M because it feels like he finally got to have a personality. And I say that tentatively because, again, I love EXO. But he never gets to contribute to EXO besides dancing and visuals. And that's great. That's his niche there. But here, he got to speak in interviews, which he never gets to do. He got a verse all to himself, which he never gets. And you're like, oh my gosh, he's a person. He's an idol. He's not just a dancing fiend. And I appreciated that.
Even when I saw them live, very minimal lines. He was just, like you said, he's there to dance and look pretty. And he's always had incredible presence. Like all of my friends that I show EXO videos to, both Paisley and Michaela have been like their bias is Kai because immediately straight out the gate, they were like, who was that man?
Who is that man?
Because that's what he is. He a whole ass man.
I mean, he's a child, but it's
and everyone in K-pop are children compared to us, Abby. He really got to, he's always had presence. You've never been able to ignore that he's there. Because makes himself known. He's got stage presence. He's got video presence. And I feel like it's so much more with Super M. I feel like this is, not that I don't love him in EXO, because obviously he's perfect in EXO, but this felt very much more him to me. just because he got to be so much more in this.
He got to shine. There is something to be said about the fact that there are less members in Super M than there are in EXO, and he wasn't overshadowed, and that's an important distinction to be made. Not to say that he's less talented than anyone else in EXO, but there was room for him in Super M.
I just really quick need to touch on, though, Taeyong. And I know this is shocking to
really
you that
quick
I want
to
touch on
him. On. We're going to be here for an hour, people. Sit down.
Listen, there is a reason he is my ult, and this really showcases it. He is incredibly talented. Whether you bias him or not, there is absolutely no denying that he is phenomenal at what he does. His rap flows are awesome. His dancing is clean and precise and gorgeous. And I loved the line. He goes, "Believe me, I'm a sight to see." And I'm like, you're not wrong. Like, we get it. Taeyong stans get so much shit on Twitter because it's like, oh, Taeyong does everything. And I'm like, I know. I appreciate it. I also wish he wouldn't do so much because I want him to sleep. But at the same time, he rocked it in this. I was a proud Taeyong ult. Okay, I'm done. See, that was it. Uh-huh. I'm done.
Oh, yeah. No. What? Who? Huh? Where am I? What year is it?
That was not that bad. I could have gone on a lot longer.
Anyway, we'll get off our Super M soapbox.
No, we still have to talk about the whole album.
Just kidding. We're talking about the whole album now.
I Can't Stand the Rain seems to be everybody's favorite from what I've seen on social media. It, to me, it has a very, like, Eldorado Artificial Love EXO feeling to it.
I can agree with that.
It's about missing someone, but it's not an emo ballad, which is kind of nice.
I mean, it was a bit emo, but...
But it had beat, and it was...
Oh, no, I know. You can be emo and have beat.
You're right.
But when I was listening to the part video, I was like, he desperate.
He sad. Too fast. Felt very shiny wavy to me. And it's definitely a sex song. Like,
that's because it's a Taemin song.
Yeah, right. So some of the songs are only sung by certain members of the group. Mm-hmm. So they're not all in every single song. This one is Taemin, Baekhyun, Mark, and Lucas. Mm-hmm. And Taemin. And I mean, it's lyrics like, "You captivate me." And then there's lyrics like, "Fast, baby, keep it moving." The song is about sex. Like, the whole...
It's about sex.
English translation. "Girl, the heat is over the limit. I'm getting goosebumps because of you."
Mm-hmm.
There's a strong feeling in me spreading.
Oh.
The whole song is about sex. And
how does he get away with these things is my question.
Are you going to look at Taemin and tell me you're going to ever argue with that man?
I mean, no, but at some point, somebody must have.
And how did that work out for them, do you think?
Probably not well.
He probably lit them on fire by looking at him.
And that's where he got the inspiration for the song, Holy Water. He's like, oh, they really could have used this.
Too bad they're already gone.
Too bad they're dead.
We're back to the murder, guys.
Back to murder.
So Supercar, I knew you weren't going to like the second I heard it. It felt like My Van, which was a Mark and Taeyong rap song on one of their most recent albums. The whole concept of the song, though, is basically that I'm the fucking best. One of the very first lines of the song is, "I must be the best." They go on to say, like, "I have too many secret weapons. You tried so hard to follow me, but since birth, we've been something different." So it's basically like them saying, like, again, that they're changing K-pop, like they're the best of the best. And you can't keep up.
Oh, snap, so, snap.
Very rap heavy, very NCT feel. And then No Manners, the last song on the mini album. So Taeyong actually wrote this. It's a breakup song. It talks about how someone is so addicted to someone, but they're so bad for each other. And he uses words to describe their relationship like criminal and cynical, but that we love each other very much, but holy shit, we gotta break up. So I thought the whole album was very well written. I love being a, you know, not to be biased or anything, but love that they included a song that Taeyong wrote on it. I think that it really, he's such a great writer and producer. And he's always shown that in NCT. And I absolutely love that they gave him the opportunity to do that on this album as well. So now we will finally leave Super M.
We will get off this Super M soapbox.
Do I have to?
Yes. We must speak of the others.
Fine. We can move on. Next, we are going to cover a comeback by a group called Argon.
Mm-hmm.
This is their first comeback after their debut.
Mm-hmm.
And we have different opinions on this one.
We do. They are a new boy band under MSH Entertainment. They debuted back in March with their single called Master Key, which I also wasn't completely impressed with. This one is called Give Me That. I thought it was quite demanding. Didn't even say please. It was just really rap heavy, not a whole lot of variety. And like the music video, it should have been dance focused. You know, like we talk about K-Tiger Zero with, you know, it's dance focused and then they dance awesome and the music video reflects that. This is a song that should have been a dance focused music video, but it wasn't. In fact, it made no sense at all.
But why, let me ask you a question. Why do you think all music videos have to make sense?
They don't, but some sense. She was walking around with a moon. What did that have to do with the song?
Have you translated the song, baby? It fits the song.
No, what is he saying? Give me that moon?
That's what I would be saying. I want the moon. I want to hold the moon in my hands.
And then in terms of song, it wasn't great. Music videos are dismissible, but the song was meh.
I completely disagree. I really like this. To me, it kind of came off as a mix of NCT and Stray Kids. The rap line was bomb, fairly reminiscent of Target's rap line, which is also bomb. And so for those of you who don't know, Target is another K-pop group that's fairly new to the scene, a couple years old, but they're awesome and their rap line is intense. And this reminded me of those three groups kind of all smushed together. Fun fact, their leader was a backup dancer for BTS's Wings tour. I was personally a fan of the beat. I was a fan of the flow. All in all, I think it was an A-plus comeback. I really liked it. I think the problem that they have is that they're in a market where it is oversaturated with the ATEEZ's and the Stray Kids with these type of comebacks. So cute comebacks don't get you a ton of recognition. And if you're going to do a heavy comeback like this, you've got to make a really huge statement. And although yes. I liked this a lot, I don't feel like it was big enough, especially for when it was released, because this time of year was really dominated by the ATEEZ and the Stray Kids, along with Super M and along with Monsta X doing stuff. It was just if they had done it maybe sooner in the year or later in the year, I feel like it would have hit a little bit bigger.
It got buried.
Yeah, it got buried. That's a perfect way of describing it. But all in all, I really liked it and I will definitely stand because I liked finding them.
Like, they're just not unique enough. That's what it is, which is a sad thing to say, but it is. Next up, we have Chungha's new collaboration with Rich Brian. And this is the year of Chungha. If you don't know who she is, she was in IOI after placing fourth in Produce 101. And she debuted as a solo artist after they broke up in 2017. And this year she released the good fucking music. Let me tell you, she did Gotta Go. She did Snapping. She did a collab with Grizzly called Run. It has been her year. And then I'm like, all right, this is going to be just like that. It's called These Nights. And it's not.
And it's not.
It's fine. Like, the song is fine. She raps in it. She's cool. But it's got such a heavy 80s vibe. And like, he's literally got a high top with mullet hair. And if you've seen the movie, he looks like the villain from Despicable Me.
No.
That's what he looks like. No, for reals. And then she's beautiful and Chungha and they're on this motorcycle and then he's that. But again, the song's fine. They both rap. It's good. It's about these nights and how we're going to live it up and we are trapped in these nights and whatever. Run was better, but man, I couldn't get over the mullet.
He's a little late to the K-pop mullet trend. Like, that's come and gone.
No, it was completely for comedic effect.
Ah.
Like, nothing about it was serious. It was that bad.
Real quick, too, I just want to throw out Monsta X surprised everyone with a
Monsta X?
Yeah, a surprise English single. It was beautiful. It was very soft and sweet, and the whole song is just simple. And it's that like the explanation of you're just pining. You just have that emotion of just wanting to be someone's.
Yep.
It was gorgeous, and I'm just going to play it on repeat for forever.
I've said it once, and I will say it again, that Monsta X is doing everything right when it comes to the American market. These fucking groups can sit down and take all of their cues from Shownu. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. That is all.
Monsta X is doing it right.
No. I mean, they've just made really smart choices and nobody's paying attention to them. Like with their French Montana and then with Steve Aoki and then this current one, which was just them. And their English was great. It wasn't even like heavily accented. And like you said, it was a good song. I think they're just making all the right choices.
Keep it up, Monsta X. Let's talk about your current favorite girl group all of a sudden.
Dude. These ladies came out of nowhere. It is called Lime Soda. And that was an immediate turnoff for me. And I'm like, oh, God, their group name is Lime Soda. That's so dumb. I'm sorry, Lime Soda. It's dumb. Their name means that they will be refreshing as lime and as sweet as soda. Whatevs. But I'm like, gotta do it for the comeback list. And oh, my gosh. Their new single, Wave, is so good.
It was a hell yes for me.
Yes. First of all, I fucking love their hair. There are three girls. It's a trio. The first girl has long black hair. That's awesome. The middle girl has a teal blue ombre hair. And you're like, okay, cool. And then the third girl has a gray to teal ombre. So they just look like a watercolor. It was fucking cool.
The whole song, like, it was cute and boppy and also sexy. So you didn't get the overwhelming, you know, bubblegum K-pop, but you also got some of it. It was fun.
Right.
It was bright. And I just really enjoyed it overall. Nothing like was crazy jump out at me, but at the same time, I've listened to it since it came out or since you showed it to me. So it's definitely something that I'm going to follow this group now because I was impressed. And that's in a market where girl groups are either really hit or really miss. Very few people are just like, eh, about a girl group. And this was a hit for me. I really enjoyed this song.
Their entire chorus leading up to their bridge is specifically dissident clashing notes. And I really like that.
I love dissonance.
And then just in general, the whole music video was just like, you know, get it. Tell him, fuck men. Tell him, no, no, no. Make up your mind. It's not overproduced like a lot of girl groups are, and I really appreciated that. Their main vocalist, Kirim, she hit her notes, and she scatted at the end, and it was great, and I loved it. Also, side note, she looks like Minho from Shiny in chick form. Did you notice that?
I did not, but I'm going to have to go back and look for it.
Go back and watch it and be like, oh, there's that really familiar jawline. What is going on?
It's a
on?
Nice jawline. Y'all stand Lime Soda so they can get more fans so they can finally pick a fandom name.
Yeah.
Moving on to AB6. AB6. How do you say this group name?
I say AB6.
That's how I say it too. And I'm sure someone out there can correct us on that if we're wrong. I've always just said AB6.
This was their first full album after their EP debut.
I really liked Breathe, and I was very excited for them to come back. And I feel very sad to say that this was just slightly unremarkable.
It was nothing special.
The main thing that really threw me off about it is it sounds almost exactly like Breathe. There's a specific pattern where they go da 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 da, and they do it in both of the songs. And like you could layer them over each other and hear it. And I listened to it right before we started recording this, just so I would have that in my mind to make sure I wasn't crazy. And I had thought I had started playing Breathe on accident because I was like, that is literally the same pattern.
So if you guys go and make a mashup, we want royalties.
Yes, please. Thank you. And I could almost argue that this is like thing for them in the aspect of it's what a lot of groups do to kind of help establish the sound. Card did it. They did very similar types of songs for their first few singles. And then after they had established a fan base and moved forward, they branched out with songs like Ride on the Wind and kind of the summer jams instead of the dance clubs. And they've changed it up since. But I don't think having a set sound at the beginning is bad. I think it helps a lot of groups. This was just so similar in the aspect of it was the same.
It could be that they're trying to go for like a constant variable.
Which is cool.
There's only two of them. So right now it's not that. Now it's just copied.
Right. And so, I mean, it was good. It wasn't bad. I added it to playlists. I'll listen to the song. I was just not blown away like I was kind of hoping for their first comeback.
Right. Next up, I have ONF. If nobody knows who ONF is, because I didn't know who ONF was, it's short for On and Off. And they're under WM Entertainment. And the cool thing about them is that they have two leaders instead of just one, because they divided their group into the On team and the Off team. And so, like, yeah, get it. I really liked the music video. It was very theory built. It makes you think, makes you come up with your own ideas as to what's going on in their universe. The music sampled, I really like, except they built up this cool kind of dark theme. And then the chorus was in a major key and it turned really happy.
Happy.
And then went back to like a really dark verse. And I'm like, What happened to my post-apocalyptic? Because that's what it was. It was like after the end of the world it's really conspiracy driven. You should go watch it. It's a very good music video. And it was also very similar to their music video for We Must Love. So maybe they have a storyline behind their music videos. I don't know enough. I'll go research that later. But musically, the high notes that the kid hit in the bridge were really nice. And it's a good boppy song. It's just, it tweaked me.
It tweaked.
It went in one direction and then veered off, and I wasn't ready for it.
Mm-hmm. Overall, yes, no?
Overall, yeah. You know, I like them. I don't know a whole lot about them. You know, I don't have as much love as you, so I can't stand as many people.
I stand way too many groups.
You do stand a lot of people. I will listen to them if they come on. They're great. No big deal.
No big deal.
No big deal.
So I was not blown away by AB6, but you know who I was blown away by?
Fucking AG.
Yes. Oh my God, this comeback
was great. This is their first full album. First one. Out the gate. So good.
They have proven that they are arguably like the strongest rookie group in the game right now.
I would agree with that.
They're pulling a Monsta X. They're doing everything right.
Yeah.
The whole album was perfect. We can talk about the video in a second. The whole album in general was incredible. Normally, I'm about like a half an album fan. If there's a full album, I usually like about 50% of the songs. But this whole album was phenomenal.
And we all know that I'm a B-side girl. And while their title track was called Wonderland, which was good, Dazzling Light.
Oh, my God.
So much better.
Dazzling Light is perfect. It is the song on the album. My personal favorite.
Yes, it's really
good. It was so, so good. On Twitter, at Hyunjin's Keeper, Cammy quote tweeted me saying, Mist was so sexy, was her exact words. And Mist is a sexy song. And there's just so much variety.
One of the things that I really, really love is that they had instrumentals in between songs built in. You know, sometimes you get a K-pop album and they have their title tracks as instrumental tracks. No big deal. But these were built in to make the flow of the album better. And I appreciate the hell out of it.
And I love that it tied in their older singles to it as well.
Especially that overture
that
they did. It was very Marianas Trench vibes, and I love that.
Like the Astoria album where they had the little interludes.
Mm-hmm.
Loved it.
I think everything was a good idea. Everything was a good choice. Especially hearkening back. I know they're new, but even just looking back, they're like, all right, we know where we're going.
This is where we've been. On to the next. And this whole album was so goddamn good. And although I thought there were several songs on the album much better than Wonderland, I thought Wonderland was a perfect title track.
Wonderland was, I mean, exactly what it said. It is a, like Alice going down the hole and doing some ecstasy. That's what that whole song is. I saw a BuzzFeed video of ATEEZ a couple weeks ago, and they were talking about, they were doing some sort of challenge. Oh, it was the No Dance Challenge. And they were like, oh, it's fine. Our group is really hyper. I think we won't be able to do this. And I'm like, God, that's so accurate. They are just full of energy. And they just go so hard in that dance break. It is a definite title track.
The video was a lot for me. Like, I honestly, for this song in particular, I think I'm going to listen to it more than I watch it. But I, at the same time, I also really love ATEEZ choreography. So that's kind of where I get lost in trying to make that decision. It was just visually too much for me, which happens. That's how I feel.
Did you get epilepsy? Well,
no, but like that's, it's just so heavily layered in so many different aspects that I don't know what happened. And it's a great video. It's a great song. Also, low key, feel like we also really liked it because there was a marching band in it.
Okay. I don't need to be called out like that. I was going to put that in my notes, but I didn't want to
self-sabotage.
Reveal myself.
Listen, I'm calling us both out, so you're not alone in this call out, okay?
But there is one thing that I did particularly love in the music video is the continuation of the flag symbolism.
Yes.
They did it in Pirate King. They did it in Treasure. They did it in Hala Hala. They just keep pulling up this flag. And it's their flag. It's their symbol. Or they're carrying their torch, so to speak. And they've done it in every music video so far. And I just think it's a good idea.
It's that continuity. It's that trigger that pulls you from one to the next, to the next, to the next. And it works. And they're a very powerful group. Like Hong Jun straight out the gate, even with his rat tails coming just powerful immediately.
Those aren't my favorite.
They're not. But he could still step on me and I would be fine with it. I am very glad I have made that choice. I did a bias jump in ATEEZ recently to him and I feel like that was a great decision on my part. But also Seonghwa can also step on me. They can step on me at the same time. I think I actually might be an ATEEZ double bias, but
oh my lord. Everybody watch
one of
out.
The only, like, I think I'm only a double bias in one other group, and that's Red Velvet. But I thought they were all so powerful. They're also intimidating. Like, they're all huge, giant, adorable dorks, but like, they're so intimidating at the same time. They just perform so well. And they're definitely on my bucket list of groups that I need to see live because I really want to see what they can pull off on a stage if they do this well in just a music video.
I have a very controversial question.
Okay.
Do you think that there is something to be said that they signed with a US record label this year and then they released this album and we like it so much more? Is it because Americans produce it? Is it because it sounds like Western music?
But does it? Because to me, it doesn't. To me, this feels very K-pop. I think on the opposite side of what AB6 is doing with keeping a similar sound, I think that it's working very well for ATEEZ. Because to me, this felt very ATEEZ. This didn't feel to me any different than anything else they had done before. I think I'm just paying attention to them more now than I have before. To me, it didn't feel any different than anything they'd done before. What about it felt different to you?
I can't really put my finger on it, except it's from a producing standpoint.
Okay.
Again, with the interludes, that is not a K-pop thing. Overtures are not a K-pop thing. And then something about how they're mixed and how they're layered. But I love it. See, I can't sit here and be like, oh, it wasn't the same, because I loved it. But I just don't know if I loved it because it sounded more like what I'm used to or because it was just that good.
It was
Maybe
so
we should
good.
Just go with it was just that good. It was just that
it
good.
It was so, so we'll go good. And I'm interested to see because this was the end of this chapter. They're saying it's like the end of the Treasure era. I'm so excited and interested to see where they're going from here.
Except I like torture myself because I bias their fucking Maknae and I'm like 10 years older than him.
I mean,
so whatever.
You can just appreciate Maknae talent. Like
I can.
It happens. You and I bias the leader because I have a type.
That's what you do.
Apparently.
Dude, Jungho, when he hit that high note in Hala Hala, I was done.
I didn't have a choice. I was not allowed to pick a different bias.
I wasn't even watching the music video. It was a lyric music video. And I just had it on the TV and I was doing stuff. And all of a sudden, it hit, and I stopped, and I turned, and I was like, the fuck was that? And I had to like rewind it, figure out which one it was, and then I had to go look up a really unhelpful guide to ATs with the YouTube video.
Those are the best, though, those unhelpful guides, because they put in the good little clips. So if y'all make those, keep it up. Keep that shit up. All right, let's talk about another rookie group that's huge, and I'm sure you
let's
all
talk
know.
About Stray Kids.
I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it, and people are going to be mad at me, but I'm going to say it anyway. Meh.
I was okay with this. See, my issue is I don't usually like Stray Kids. I have not liked a single Stray Kids song.
Oh, God.
I didn't like Miro. I didn't like Elevator. I didn't like any of the ones. But I didn't mind Double Knot. I didn't mind it.
See,
I'm okay with
and
it.
And here's the problem where I sound like a freaking hypocrite, because like I'm sitting here saying AT sounded very 80s, and then I'm sitting here saying this sounded like Stray Kids, and I'm kind of, I wanted something different.
Okay. I liked the da-da-da-da-da-da-da, which is stupid. But a lot of like groups don't do onomatopoeia. It's coming into style nowadays, but it's not, it hasn't been there. Again, that's a very Western thing. I think people are adapting. But I guess what I really, really liked about this song was the choreo. The choreo was good.
The video was great. It just, it reminded me a lot of the Voices video. It felt so similar to everything I've already seen and heard from them before.
Right. But it's a fighting song.
Yeah.
Like them be fighting words. That's what this was. And that was reflected in the choreo, because they blew off their knuckles and it was good. And then the ending pose where they're holding each other's arms up. I support it. I'll go for this one. I won't go for any of the other ones.
I mean, like, it goes back to what I said about AB6. I didn't hate it, but I wanted something. Like, with Stray Kids, I just have that expectation, I guess, that it was just going to be absolutely outstanding. I've loved Stray Kids' other comebacks. I thought Jisung's rap was really solid. I was really stoked that Felix had a few lines for once in a song. His voice is just super cool and needs to be showcased a lot more. Other than that, I just was not blown away. I know everyone is going to give me shit for it, especially because Cammy tweeted again at on our Twitter, and she said Stray Kids did it again, and that's fine. I also know one of her ults is in Stray Kids, so because her at is Hyunjin's Keeper. So it's like, it wasn't bad. It just felt I wanted something different from them. And I'm so used to the big and the bold, and this felt actually a little bit more muted is what I think it is than what I was looking for from them. So it wasn't bad. I just, meh.
You know, it was real good though.
The surprise we got today.
My surprise. I have, how long has it been since we've heard from EXO?
It's been a hot second. Almost a
EXO
year.
EXO SC doesn't count.
And Baekhyun solos, Jungdae solos.
Baekhyun solos.
Everyone's had a solo this
Gio
year. Because Xiumin had his
none
solo.
Of it
none of that counts. We're talking about EXO as a group that makes you feel those EXO feels.
Nostalgia. But this Japanese comeback.
The Japanese singles, I feel like, just get dropped. And then like a month later, they drop the actual album.
Ah.
So this was a big surprise. Everyone on my Twitter timeline was like, what the fuck is happening? Where did EXO come from?
I saw it on YouTube and I was like, the fuck is this? Because it said it had been posted like 3 days ago. And I listened to it and I must tell you, Baekhyun didn't have to go that hard on the bridge, but he did for me.
His runs were phenomenal. He,
I love Baekhyun.
He announced on Ellen that we are allowed to call him that. So anyway, he killed those runs in that bridge.
I'm sorry. He pan-fried it.
Sticking with the Baekhyun jokes, huh?
Yep, that's where we are. But it was very euphoric and uplifting, and it made me want to like drive with the top down and maybe run, except not because I'm lazy.
I just think that it was very bright. It gives that feeling of like, let's go, you and me, let's leave everything behind. And that's what the song is saying, is like, let's just fly away. Let's get the fuck out of here. And instead of being like, you know, like you get that from like the Check Yes Juliet's, the Scene Kids, like, let's get out of here. Fuck our parents. Fuck this town. But this was like, hey, let's go. Like, let's just go. I am a little disappointed because I know that we don't normally get a lot of Sehun singing. It's not something he's super confident in. I know he's been working on it, but I also know it's not anything SM really lets him do. And he was just literally not in this song. And I think that he has a light, airy, soft singing voice that I think would have fit perfect in this song. So I don't know if he was just filming for Busted or so that's why he's not in it, but he's literally not in this song.
All the comments on the YouTube video say pretty much the same thing. They're like, his face never lights up. You missed something.
I think that he had to have been out filming or just really hard opted out of a song that was just solid singing. And I'm not sure what happened with that, but I also, do we think that Kai got more singing lines in this one? Because people were like, because SM was like, oh shit, people really want to hear Kai sing after he debuted with Super M. So they're like, oh, he doesn't think people don't think- just want him to be visually sexy. Who knew?
What?
We knew.
I think it was part that and also part that they were down
so many members. Yeah.
Because, I mean, Minsook got more lines than he did and Dio got a hell of a lot more lines than he did. But they're both in the military, so they had to fill it with Kai.
But let us know on Twitter. You can at us, K-Pop Parade, K-P-O-P-A-R-A-D-E. What has been your favorite comeback so far for the month of October? Comeback or debut? Mm-hmm. There have been a lot and there are still a lot to come.
There are still. We still have Ladies Code, Tiffany Young. I guess that's not technically K-pop anymore, but I'm going to still do it because I love her. Heist is coming back. Super Junior.
Suju.
Yeah, TXT got confirmed. VAV is coming back. Day 6. When we have a couple of debuts, we have a girl group called ICU on the 22nd, and then we have one called Arias on the 24th, which looks interesting. So
then we have Monsta X and Ace wrapping up the month, and I'm sure we'll get lots of more surprises throughout the next couple weeks because that's what K-pop does to us.
It surprises us.
Surprise. Mm-hmm. Thank you guys again for tuning into this episode of K-pop Parade. I am Trinity.
And I'm Abby.
And we'll talk to you guys later.
See you later.
Bye.